Have you ever heard some stories about old Las Vegas that seem a little sus? Well, today we are separating fact and myth in a fun trivia format. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, I am here with Corey Levitan. Corey Levitan is the Las Vegas Mythbuster at casino.org, and he's going to toss us some stories. My co-host David Figler and I are going to figure out whether they are true or false. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. David, Corey, let's get down to it.
So much trivia, so little time. Let's do this.
Corey, if you don't know, in my record v. David Figler, David's 2 and I'm 1 in terms of our quiz show-based episodes. So this might tie it up today. Do you have some rules for gameplay for us?
So I'm going to read you a statement. Both of you are going to guess whether that statement is a fact or a Vegas myth.
Okay.
Ready?
And we should alternate. So you should ask Sarah first and then me and then go back and forth.
Okay.
Question number one, fact or myth? Las Vegas was not the first place in Nevada named Las Vegas.
Shit, these are already hard. I think that is true. Las Vegas is not the first place in Nevada already named Las Vegas.
So your guess is fact.
I do think that that is fact. There was another Las Vegas before us.
Mr. Figler?
I'm going to go contrary because I really want Sarah to win. No, I want to just be competitive. No,
yeah.
I don't think that that's true. I think that's a Vegas myth.
I love that we're already split down the middle.
Congratulations, Sarah. A thriving community of 2,000 to 3,000 people, also called Las Vegas, was established on what became today's historic West Side by J.T. McWilliams, a surveyor.
Oh, wait.
It was called Las Vegas. He beat the other Las Vegas to the punch, sold plots, and they all had to move across the railroad tracks.
I'm not going to dispute the point, but that is a very nuanced friggin' question.
Is this how you would behave on Jeopardy?
Yes. I'd be like, Alex, first of all, welcome back from the dead. And then I would say, I need to talk with the judges.
It's absolutely. And you know what? I bet most of the Jeopardy contestants do. It just gets cut out of the show.
Yeah,
right?
All the time.
Because sometimes that those they come back and they're like, actually, our judges have conferred, you know?
Yeah.
The McWilliams town site, which started in 1904.
Whatever. Dude, it's all Las Vegas. same spot. Move on.
Question two, fact or myth? A shortage of drinking water was one of the reasons the 32 Mormon missionaries abandoned the old Mormon fort, the first permanent European settlement in Las Vegas. Fact or myth?
Figler?
I'm going to go with myth. There are a lot of reasons why they didn't make it here, but I don't think water was one of them.
I'm also going to say myth. Las Vegas still has groundwater to this very day. There are places that have their own wells. So I'm going to say that's not true.
You guys are both right. The reasons were disappointing mining and crop yields, dissension among the leaders, deteriorating relations with the Native Americans they tried converting to Mormonism, and the beginning of what the Mormons referred to as the Utah War against the U.S. government, which they returned home to help fight. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you. Hey, here's a weird fact I just learned. Do you know that if you have a rain barrel, you can only capture up to 2,000 gallons of rain in Las Vegas?
I did know that.
Would it take 200 years to collect 2,000 gallons of rainwater in Las Vegas?
You know, my thing is about, I think it's 50 gallons, and it fills up basically every monsoon. So it just, I'd have to do some math there. But anyway, you got to make sure it goes into the ground.
All right. So it's Sarah 2 and David 1. Is that what we have?
Correct.
Question 3. Billionaire Howard Hughes ordered 350 gallons of a flavored ice cream, probably peach, but also reported as banana nut, to his penthouse at the Desert Inn because the store was out, and that was the minimum order you could make from Baskin-Robbins headquarters. Within a day or two, Hughes announced that he no longer wanted that ice cream, and the entire hotel was served free, rejected ice cream from Howard Hughes for more than a year. Fact or myth?
It's my turn to go first, and that is, well, so now Figler's going to get an advantage. That's 100% true, and I want to just say that I appreciate that you acknowledge that we don't know what flavor of ice cream it was, because people often mistakenly assume it was banana nut, but in the original quote of the hotel manager, that was thrown out as an example, not the reality. He said something like, let's say banana nut. So the story itself is true. The exact flavor is apocryphal.
That's correct.
Well, wait, I have to guess.
Oh, edit
that's
that out.
We'll just pretend.
Edit that out.
Well, Sarah's confidence is so off-putting that I believe I'm going to go the other direction because I feel that she's trying to fool me. But then again, I remember listening to this very episode on CityCast Las Vegas with Jeff Schumacher, and I know that it is true.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you saying I don't listen to every episode of CityCast Las Vegas?
I think you're going to have to catch up, friend. You only got 500 to go.
I'm kind of excited that you think I'm devious enough to throw you by adding in historical knowledge.
But then you would have been fooling me into the correct answer, which made no sense, so it doesn't make sense.
It's true. All right, so it's me three, you two. I'm just as happy when we both get it right.
By the way, I talked to Hughes' director of corporate records, a guy called Paul Wynn, who's pushing 100 now.
Wow.
And he worked for him from 1957 until he died in 76. And he said the flavor did matter, and it was peach.
Interesting. Peach. See, I believe that over banana nut. Also, though, it is something that a CityCast wants to pay me to find out will be pretty easy to find out. You just have to look at a record of what flavors Baskin-Robbins was offering and then figure out what flavors they discontinued during the year and a half that Howard Hughes was here. Boom.
What, research? That's not fun.
I think Sarah's a better journalist than I am. I'm scared now.
I'm a historian. I'm just a researcher.
And I go with my gut and I say it was butter pecan. The end.
No, because if that flavor still exists, then anyway, the thing about history is that people just like to keep repeating misinformation as opposed to actually doing the diligence. And
that's Corey's bread and butter.
The facts. Yeah, that's what
that's Corey's bread and butter pecan.
Exactly. Okay, so number four. The first and last men to die building the Hoover Dam were a father and his son. Fact or myth?
A lot of people died making that Boulder Dam.
It was never called Boulder Dam, my friend.
That Hoover Dam.
Yes.
It's too good to not be true. So I'm going to say that's a true one, even though it's probably false. But I'm going to say it's true. It's true. It's true. Final answer.
It would be crafty if Corey made this up just to try to trick us.
He probably will.
However, I don't know that it's true, so I am going to say false.
Point to Mr. Figs.
Gazinga! Is that a thing? Is that an expression?
It is now.
Is now.
Before the dam even started construction, J.G. Tierney was among the surveyors scouting for a construction site up and down to Colorado. In 1922, he got toppled from the raft in which he rode and drowned in the strong current.
Oh my God.
14 years later, Tierney's son, Patrick, died from a fall from the newly completed dam. And that's not even the most bizarre part.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. Both father and son died on December 20th.
Whoa.
That's so depressing.
Thank you.
I mean, Christmas in that family had to be a real bummer.
I wonder if there's still descendants in the area.
That's great.
Research.
No, that's research. Go do it.
If they're listening now.
We're sorry.
All right, we're staying on Hoover Dam.
We're very sorry for your loss.
Very sorry for your loss.
That really tickled Gory.
I love inappropriate humor. I'm sorry. Question five. We're going to stay with the Hoover Dam. The dam was built to provide water and power to Las Vegas. Fact or myth?
Oh, no. Is this a trick question?
You can't ask me that.
I was really asking myself. Okay. Was it built to provide power? Yes. The turbines have always been there, right?
Sure. Yes.
Was it built to provide water for Las Vegas, or was it built to provide water for the Southwest?
Oh, it's so confusing. It's Corey and his nuanced questions.
I'm going to go true. I'm just going to go true.
I'm going to say false. That wasn't the prime purpose. So I'm going to say that based on Corey Levitin logic, that would be a false statement.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, point to Mr. Figler.
Come on.
You got to know the quiz master, baby.
All right. You got to tell me then what the deal is. It was not built to provide water.
Vegas didn't start drawing water from the lake until it depleted its own underground aquifers in 1971. 35 years after the dam's completion. Now you said before there are still some, but it's not
it's when they did the big straw in 71.
I had no idea. That is the year that David Figler moved to Las Vegas.
And with the water. Yeah. It's like they're like, "Oh, one more thirsty boy. Let's give that thirsty boy some water."
You came down the river like baby Moses.
The primary purpose of the dam was to control flooding on the Colorado. It just so happened that the most suitable place to build it was determined to be the Boulder Canyon, and that was the closest approach to Las Vegas.
And it
Colorado
saved
made.
Las Vegas. It put us on the map.
I really learned something today.
Town.
Thanks, Corey.
Now, the second part, the hydroelectric power, that's certainly a beneficial byproduct, but Las Vegas to this day only gets 4% of its power from the Hoover Dam.
We don't even need it.
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm losing
now. But
as far
as Nevada's allotment, Las Vegas gets it all when it comes to water.
And we put some back in. We're so good with water.
And we get credits for more water every time.
This is what I tell my friends out east when they're like, "You live in the desert. It doesn't seem sustainable." And I'm like, "Listen." And that's what I tell them.
Do you tell them about our vast and rich ecosystem?
Yeah, I do. Because they're also like, "The desert, there's nothing out there." That's my impression of people from the East Coast. Sorry.
Spot on. No, I knew you were immediately talking as an Easterner.
All right, David, you pulled in front and you're beating me now. You're 4 and I've got 3.
Interesting.
I don't have a tiebreaker, so David has to win.
Is that it? Are we done?
I do. I have another question. I meant to be a tiebreaker because I'm not good with numbers.
Okay.
I'm good with facts, but not numbers.
Okay.
All right. Question 6. Nevada was admitted to the Union so that its gold and silver could finance the Union forces during the Civil War. Fact or myth?
I'm going to commit to being a myth. I believe that Nevada was entered into the Union in 1864 to be a free state so that there would be that balance of power for the right honorable President Abraham Lincoln. Although we did have a lot of gold and silver.
I agree with David. I think it was entered as a free state because I don't see if the gold and silver was largely privately owned, it shouldn't matter if it was a state or not. Because I assume it was like, you know, Rockefeller.
Well, during wartime, not to try to sway your answer away from me, but, you know, the government can take what it wants.
I agree with you, David. I think it was entered to be a free state. So I'm also going to say, I actually don't remember which direction that is false, that it was false.
Correct. False. We both are saying false, Corey.
It's a myth. It's a myth, and you're both right.
Which means you still get to win, David.
Sorry.
Ugh. Now you've won best out of 5, so I guess we're doing best out of 7?
I'll always be here to compete with you, Sarah Lohman. It's so much fun. And that's just because I always win.
Yeah.
Wait,
no, it is.
I don't always win.
I've really learned a lot. Corey, I learned a lot today. And like now I feel even better, like armed to spit cool facts about Las Vegas. Thanks to you. Thanks for being with us, Corey.
Oh, thank you. I love coming here. So keep me coming back.
And thanks for being so competitive, David Figler.
Always. I'm never going to just let you win because I know you wouldn't respect me.
No, I wouldn't. I'd be angry. It'd be a false win. That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed this show, why not send it to a friend? You can play along, pause the episode, and answer yourselves. See who knows the most about Las Vegas. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Take care. I am here with Corey Levitin, Vegas myth butter at...
Myth butter.
Keep it,
I like.
Keep it.
I would.
Keep it.
I would eat some myth butter right now. Mmm, creamy. Is it though?
Okay.